This morning, I want to save you some money on your prescriptions and your psychiatrist and your psychologist bill. I want to preach on the subject this morning, a cure for depression. There's millions of dollars spent every year trying to cheer people up. And it's funny to me, people go to other people to help them, and sometimes they're just as depressed as they are. And we ought to go to the one that made us. He has the answer that can help us when we do get depressed. Now, I'm not going to tell you this morning how to avoid depression. I think every single person needs depression to come into their life every now and then. You don't know that you have a God that can fix it if you don't have a problem. And you don't know that you have a God that can cheer you up till you get depressed. And so I'm not going to tell you this morning how to avoid it. I'm going to tell you how to cure it so that when it comes, it doesn't stay around very long. I mean, you can't help but be depressed, but you can help staying depressed. And this morning, I'm going to tell you how to make depression a renter instead of an owner, a visitor instead of a resident, and a vagrant instead of a citizen. Everybody gets depressed. I mean, in the Bible, we can go back and we can look at Bible heroes, people that we hold up and admire and respect for their for what they did for God. But you go back and you read their stories, and some of them had fits of depression. Moses did often as he was leading the people through the wilderness. I mean, you can go back and you can find when the people rebelled against God, when they limited God, Moses would get off by himself and he said, "I just can't take it anymore, God. Why don't you just kill me and put somebody else in charge?" He got depressed, but he didn't stay depressed. David got depressed. I mean, you go back and you read some of the Psalms that he wrote when his son rebelled against him and when he had to flee Jerusalem and he knew it was a result of the sin that he had committed earlier in his life. And you go back and you read some of those songs and they're, I mean, you get depressed and you want to make yourself feel worse, go back into the book of Psalms and read some of those Psalms. And you can commiserate together with David as he faced depression. Elijah did. You remember when Jezebel was chasing him because he had led the people to kill all the prophets of Baal? He got out by himself and he said, "God, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one still trying to serve you. Why don't you just go ahead and kill me and let's just get it over with." I mean, he was depressed. Jeremiah was. I mean, he's called the weeping prophet. He was depressed a lot of the time because of the message that he had to deliver. And Paul, I mean, the great missionary preacher of the New Testament, Paul got depressed. Chuck read from Romans chapter 7 a moment ago, and Paul said, "Hey, I want to do good, and I know to do good, but when I go to do good, I end up doing bad." And he said in verse 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And so he was depressed about his inability to do right when he knew how to do it. But none of these guys stayed depressed. It visited them, but they got over it. I mean, the bird landed, but it didn't make a nest. The seed was planted, but it never took root. How did they do it? I mean, when depression came in their lives, how did they say, "Shoo"? How did they say, "Get out of here"? Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I'm going to answer it for you this morning. I'm going to give you some things from the Word of God, and I'm going to use Paul as our example because in Romans chapter 7, he was depressed. "Oh, wretched man that I am," he said. And then you read the next chapter of Romans, and he went from the valley to the mountaintop. He said, "We are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And he said, who shall separate us from the love of God? He said, nobody and nothing can separate us from the love of God. He got right back on top after being in the bottom in chapter 7. How'd he do it? Well, I'm going to use a verse, probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible, to give you the answer. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where the Bible says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Now, there's a secret in that verse that tells you how to get over depression. And I'm going to paraphrase that verse a little bit. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are doing what God wants them to do, where He wants them to do it. That's the key to getting over depression. That's how you can say to depression, be gone and vanquish it. That's how you can tell depression, pack your suitcases and get out of here, man. No more, you're no more welcome here. It's to get to the point in your life to do what God wants you to do where He wants you to do it. You say, okay, Brother Darrell, that sounds fine. What does God want me to do? Oh, I'm glad you asked that question, because I'm going to answer that one for you this morning as well. I'm going to give you seven things. Now, I can't tell you everything that God wants you to do, but I can tell you seven things that if you're depressed this morning, if you do one or more of these seven things, I think you can beat depression. Number one, you ought to get saved. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you ought to be depressed because you are headed for the devil's hell. You have no hope. And if you're not saved this morning, one of the best pills that you can take to get rid of your salvation is the gospel. And that's to know that you are a sinner headed for hell, but that Jesus went to the cross and died for you, and He did everything on Calvary that needs to be done to get you into heaven. You don't have to go to hell. God's not willing that any should perish. But that all should come to repentance, but that all should go to heaven, but that all should have a mansion in that place where the gold, the streets, where the asphalt is gold, the streets of gold, and the sun always shines because there is no need of the sun because Jesus is the light of that place. And this morning, if you want to beat depression and you're not saved, you decide this morning that you're going to receive Christ and make Him yours. That'll do something for you that no pill psychiatrist or psychologist can ever do. It'll get you right with your God and make you right with Him and keep you right with Him and give you a home in heaven. Now look, I don't have a lot of time, but if you're here today and you're not saved, you're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid the penalty. And if you'll come and receive what He purchased for you on Calvary, you'll have life everlasting. If you're not saved, that's the first step you need to take. Number two, you say, Brother Darrell, you're preaching the same thing you did last week. That's all right. You need it and I need it. Number two, if you're a Christian, you've been saved, and you want to beat depression, then confess Christ. Confess Christ. Tell somebody about Him. If you've never walked the aisle after you got saved, walk the aisle. If you've never been baptized after you've been saved, get baptized. The Bible says, and by the way, if you don't confess Christ, you ought to be depressed, because the Bible says if you don't confess Him, He will not confess you before the Father. And so this morning, if you're a Christian and you've never confessed Christ, you need to walk the aisle. You need to submit yourself for baptism. You need to tell people you are saved. I think we ought to say like Paul, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Hey, I want people to know that I'm a Christian. I want people to know that my sins have been forgiven and I'm on my way to heaven. I want people to know where I stand for Jesus. And I hope there never comes a time in my life where I'm ashamed of my Savior. And I hope the same thing for every single one of you. And let me just be real blunt this morning. If you've been saved and you've never confessed Christ, then you are a person without gratitude and you are a coward. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but I think if you've been saved and you enjoy the benefits of eternal life, then you ought to stand up and be counted in the number of Christians that confess Him. And if you're not, I tell you, there's something in your soul that's just, you ought to be depressed. Because there's something in your soul that's not right that you can fix this morning by confessing the Savior. Number three, a pill to take for depression. Number three, come to church. Come to church. I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're all here. But come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If you're not in your place when the church door is open, you ought to be depressed because you're not in the place that you ought to be. Amen? It's like a golfer missing a tournament. It's like a tennis player missing a match. It's like a football or baseball player missing a game. If you're not in your place when the church door is open, no wonder you're depressed, because your soul is telling you, that new man that you have, telling you ought to go. The old man is saying, no, just stay at home. You can get as much out of watching somebody on TV or listening to the radio as you can to come to church. And that's a lie straight out of hell. You can't get as much. You may get preaching, but you don't get the fellowship sitting in front of the box or sitting in front of the radio. You don't get the fellowship and the encouragement that you get from rubbing elbows with other people that are trying to live life just like you. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let me announce to you this morning, the day's approaching. Jesus is getting ready to come back. It's closer than it's ever been. I'm not setting a date because I don't know, but I tell you what, it's a lot closer this week than it was last week. The day's approaching, and we need to be exhorted. We need to be provoked to good works, and that's what happens to you when you come to church. And I tell you what, it'll do something for your soul when you get provoked to good works. Say, I don't think you ought to get mad. That word provoked doesn't mean get mad. It means stirred up. We're talking in Sunday school this morning about the confidence that we have in Jesus. And I used the example of orange juice that's set in the refrigerator for a while. Before you drink it, you need to go in and shake it up and get it stirred up again. That's what we need as Christians. We not only need to get our confidence in our Savior stirred up, we need to get provoked, stirred up, to go out and work for Him. That'll beat depression. Number four, tell somebody about Jesus. That's the best thing I know. If you're a Christian and you've confessed Christ and you come to church, you're still depressed, go out and find somebody to tell about Jesus. And if you're not doing that on a regular basis, you ought to be depressed. I mean, the main purpose that you're here as a Christian is to be a fisher of men. The Great Commission that says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our charge. That's our orders. That's why we're here. And if we're not telling people about Jesus, no wonder we're depressed. Psalm 126 verses 5 and 6 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I've seen people so depressed, it looks like they never get up out of the bottom. I've seen them go win somebody to Jesus, and they're immediately on top of the mountain. I mean, you can't go into a hospital and see a little baby get born without coming away rejoicing about life that God's given us. You can't see somebody get born into the kingdom of God without getting over your depression, without getting excited. I mean, the Bible says that when somebody gets saved, the angels in heaven rejoice. Same thing happens to us. Same thing happens to us. We rejoice. So go out and tell somebody about Jesus. You have a heartache this morning, you have a heartbreak. I know there's people in this room that are facing some tough decisions. And they have problems, and they're about to make a change in their life. And they're worried, and they're a little concerned about it. They're a little depressed about it. Let me tell you how to get over it. Go out and find somebody that's on their way to hell. Somebody that doesn't know Jesus, and tell them how to get to heaven. Tell them how to get to heaven. Now, they may not get saved. They may not pray and ask Jesus to be their Savior. But I tell you what, you'll feel a whole lot better going out and telling them about it than you would if you don't. Tell somebody about Jesus. Number five, read the Bible. Read the Bible. It's our daily bread. We need to read it. I tell you what, if I don't eat on a regular basis food, I get depressed. I mean, some of the most depressing times in my life when I've been on a diet and having to not being able to eat the stuff I like to eat. I mean, I get depressed. And so should it be any wonder that when we don't eat our spiritual food on a regular basis, that we get depressed? In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says this, "This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You know, there's nothing as depressing as failure. There's nothing as depressing as starting out to do something and then not being able to get it done. And here's a promise from the Holy God right here that I just read to you that said, you want to know how to have good success? You say, "Brother Darrell, you mean everything I try, I'll be a success?" You get in the Word of God and you start listening to the Holy Spirit and you follow His direction. And you meditate in this book and day and night, and I'll guarantee you everything you try will be a success. Because if you're in the Word of God and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you won't try anything that God doesn't want you to try. You'll be doing the things that He wants you to do, called according to His purpose, and He promises you good success. There's nothing like beating depression than going out and succeeding at something. And the key to doing that is staying in this book. Read your Bible. Number 6, love your neighbor. Go out and find, who's my neighbor? Somebody asked Jesus that question. He told him the story of the Good Samaritan. Your neighbor is anybody that you can find that has a need. And the word love is just not a oozy feeling. It's a word of action. So loving your neighbor means going out and finding somebody that has a need and then meeting that need. Love your neighbor. When you do that, it'll help you realize a couple things. Number one, it'll help you realize that you're not the only one with problems. That there's a whole bunch of other people out there in the world that are hurting just as much, if not more, than you are. And number two, you'll see people that have it worse than you do. Say, "Brother Darrell, I can't find anybody that needs anything." Then friend, you're not looking. You're not looking. Now, let me help you. I didn't plan to say this. I'll just throw this in for nothing this morning. If you can't find anybody that you can love because they have needs, let me give you a suggestion. Go down to the rest home this afternoon and just go from room to room, have a word of prayer with the people that are in those rooms. Clint knows what I'm talking about. Forrest and Marge and Wanda knows what I'm talking about. They've been there. You can find somebody that has a need down in the rest home that you can love on this afternoon. Love your neighbor. Well, I got another one for you. Not a better, but another one. Go to the hospital this afternoon. And just go from room to room until you find somebody in the hospital that doesn't have any visitors. And just go in and say, "Look, just wanted to have a word of prayer, if you don't mind. I know I don't know you, but I know you must have a hurt if you're here in the hospital. And if you wouldn't mind, could I just stop and have a word of prayer with you?" There's 4 or 5 hospitals you can go to, and you could find hundreds of rooms where they're going to lay in the hospital bed all this afternoon with nobody come up and be with them. And you could go in and have a short word of prayer with them and love on them. Go to the funeral home. There's funeral homes all over this city that this afternoon there will be families grieving for the loss of a loved one. And you know what? If you don't know, say, "Brother Darrell, I just don't know. I could go in and meet strangers." Well, just go in and sit in the back and pray. And ask the Lord to comfort that family as they hurt. And I guarantee you, if you are depressed this morning, you can go out this afternoon to one of those 3 places. And you can bring just a word of cheer to somebody that's hurting. And your depression will flee. It'll flee. And then number 7. Sing. Sing. Say, "Oh, I can't sing. I don't have a good voice." Okay, then just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, it's hard to stay depressed when you're singing. Say, "Brother Darrell, you don't know how I sing." Well, don't sing out loud then. Sing in your heart. Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians. "And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. I mean, if your singing depresses you, then sing in your heart. Chuck and I sat up here when Chris was playing the offertory, and we hum. We just hum. He almost started singing this morning. I thought he was going to start singing. But just sing. Nobody hears him but me. But just, I mean, if you say, I can't sing, if I sing and make myself, then do what this verse says. Sing in your heart. Sing to yourself. It says, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things, even the things that depress you. The Bible says that we ought to give thanks to God. Why? Well, we go right back to Romans 8:28. Because all things work together for good. That thing that God sends into my life may be depressing to me, but when I step back and realize that He's given it to me for my good, why shouldn't I sing and offer thanks to Him for all things which He's brought into my life and just sing about it? And I guarantee you, you do one or more. You say, I'm really depressed this morning. I got some things going on in my life. You don't know what they are. And there's no way. And in fact, I was with, I was talking to a lady at work on Thursday. And she's had a lot of problems in her life, has had problems with her mom and dad and with a daughter. And she says, you know, the thing that really irks me is when people come up to me and say, I know what you're going through. She says, they don't know what I'm going through. They can't know what I'm going through. And I said, you're right. We don't. But there's somebody that does. There's somebody that does. And like Mandy sang a moment ago, when you're at the end of the rope and you, the ride is getting too rough for you to handle, you just need to remember that Jesus is still there. And He knows exactly what you need in your life. And whether you like it or not, He's going to put it in there. Because He loves you. So rather than being depressed about it, and again, I can't tell you how to keep depression from coming into your life. Things I'm talking about this morning tell you how to kick it out once it gets there. But when it comes, you just do one of these things. And I just, you say, oh, Brother Darrell, I don't know if I can believe you or not. Well, then try it. Just try it. You get depressed, then go out and find somebody that's got a problem and help them. Open this book. Go out and find somebody that doesn't know Jesus and tell them about Jesus. Sing. Try it this week. And if it comes, and if it doesn't work, you come back, and I'll give you time next Sunday morning to stand and say, I tried what the preacher said. I really tried it this week, and I want to tell you, it doesn't work. And I make that challenge this morning because I believe this book. And I believe that if we do what God says, He will keep His promises. So if you don't believe me this morning, then believe God and go out and try it. Put them to the test. See if it doesn't work. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the simple truth that's in this book. You love us. You care about us. You want our life to count for you. And I pray this morning that we would take the simple truth that you've shown us and we would apply it to our life. Everybody's got problems at certain times in their life. We have the answer as to how to overcome them. We can say like Paul, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I pray this morning, Father, for those that might be here that don't know Jesus as their Savior. I pray this morning that they would make that decision to receive Christ. I pray for those that have never confessed Him. They've taken the gift of salvation, but they've never told anybody. They've never walked an aisle. They've never been baptized. I pray this morning that they would come. And then, Father, I pray the other things that we mentioned this morning, I pray that we would try you. So many of the blessings that you have for us we miss because we just don't believe this book. And I pray this morning that we'd take a step of faith and we try something for you. Bless the invitation. I pray for all those that need to make decisions. Holy Spirit, you speak to us. Help us to be obedient this morning. We'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.